Guardian Unlimited.
I think that there are two things about Churchill as an orator. First of all, he knew about words. I mean, he had an immense vocabulary, so much so that he usually put in two words where most people would put in one. And the other was not just the choice of words, but the harmony of a sentence. I mean, he knew how the English language works. That comes of reading all that Gibbon in his childhood. He's got those harmonies in his mind, which politicians nowadays have just about lost. Very rarely do you find someone who's actually constructing a sentence from a musical, from a harmonious point of view. Churchill did both those things absolutely, not quickly, because we know he took infinite trouble, but automatically the gifts were there. Of course, the other thing about a speech that to be memorable is the moment and the message, I mean, the content. At the time, I vaguely remember these Churchill speeches as a schoolboy, and they had an extraordinary effect on all of us, really, because things which had been very obscure and foggy became clear. And schoolboys like myself didn't think for a moment that we would lose. I mean, we were completely persuaded by this talk. What our parents may have said privately when we'd gone to bed, I don't know. But for the nation as a whole, this was entirely convincing stuff, and we remembered it for years afterwards because it had come at that moment in this way,
at a time when presumably doubt would be the logical response given the face of what was going on around you.
Yes, doubt was logical, and obviously people like Halifax in the cabinet, expressed doubts, felt doubts very strongly. The other thing about Churchill's oratory is that even in 1940, it was deeply old-fashioned in style. If you read Evening Wars novels about it, people thought of Churchill, all writers indispensable, but using such a sort of ancient technique and the literary style, so old-fashioned, we've got used to it again now because he did it, and lots of people tried to imitate him in the decades which followed. But it was extraordinary. It was really like trying to beat Hitler with a sword, something very old-fashioned. That form of words, that kind of speech-making, was 1880 rather than 1940, but it worked. It happened that you needed a sword, you needed something old-fashioned and traditional, which people recognised as such.
Looking back, it is sort of alleged or asserted, I think, by some historians, or at least by the common popular history of that period, that without that morale, the war was unwinnable, almost. I mean, to what extent do you think that legend is true?
Well, I think you needed to have the morale. You needed to have the morale so that there were no quizzlings, no one was saying, "Where's Mosley? We need him." That was simply not a cry. No, it did work, and it was needed.
He has a tone that's almost bored sounding, isn't it? And then suddenly it hits a crescendo.
Well, that's what I mean. I think I think what we've just heard is a man repeating what he's already said. I think in the Commons itself there was plenty of oomph and passion, which there isn't really in that delivery.
And is there anything more to be said about his position as a conservative? I mean, he brought together a party which was obviously disunited at that time, and to some extent there's a legacy there that has inspired generations of politicians, presumably.
Yes, he brought together the Tory party, but he also put himself at the head of a coalition, I mean, with a Labour deputy. And that really brought to an end a pretty depressing period of British political life, the formation of that government in June 1940. Party politics then faded away, and he was deliberately talking to the whole nation. There was nothing partisan about it at all. There's another point which is worth remembering. Nowadays, we're used to a prime minister who's on the telly every night. I mean, there is not a day when we don't hear from Tony Blair. In my childhood, and at the time when Churchill made his speech, the prime minister only spoke when he had something important to say. And so we remember Chamberlain after Munich, we remember these speeches, because they were so rare. And if you knew that the Prime Minister was going to speak, You know, you left the pub early. You put the children to bed early, or whatever it was. So you were there, listening to the wireless. It was an event. That sense of something special when the Prime Minister spoke, of course, is being completely dissipated now. We hear from the Prime Minister more often than we hear from anybody else. It's quite silly. I mean, it's a silly overuse of a facility. A sensible Prime Minister, and I hope the next Prime Minister will be much more sparing. But we've got total inflation and therefore devaluation of this particular technique. So it's worth remembering that in 1940 it was a very special thing. Guardian Unlimited.